example of Qantas technology. So, okay, so example. So we have, first of all, we've got this vector here. Sorry, could you? Thanks. Okay, so we have this vector, psi, that's the state vector, and a horizontally polarized photon. Okay, it comes to one of these polarization dividers, and that's been rotated around by an angle of pi over 4, alpha equals pi over 4. And so what it does is it actually splits up any incoming beam of light or any incoming photon into a component that's parallel, that's polarized at a 45 degree angle around from horizontal. And one that's polarized at a 45 degree angle but around kind of clockwise around from the vertical. So if you shine a huge macroscopic beam like billions of photons, some of them would come out in general being polarized at this angle, and some would come out in this polarization state like that. And the relative probabilities would just depend on the state of the input. So like that. So horizontal comes in. So to find out, if we put one photon, obviously some of it will be transmitted through the A part. Some will be, go up there, reflected through the B part. To find out how much, what we have to represent is this vector here, this state vector, in terms of these two basis vectors. So we can think of this as being the overall vector. And it has a component in this direction and a component in that direction. So it's a component in the A direction and a component in the negative B direction. So obviously pi over 4 here. Pi over 4 there. So cos pi over 4 is, still 1 over root 2. And then 1 over root 2 here. So another way of writing this vector, H, is equal to one over root 2 A in the A direction, but we're going in the negative B direction, the minus B direction here, so it's minus like that. And I guess actually it should be a bit more, and I'll just put a little 40, put a pi over 4 subscript there, and another pi over 4 subscript just to denote that that's for the case that alpha equals pi over. Yes?
So if you put an horizontal and it's split into the two components,
yep,
but it's negative in the B direction, how would that work?
So just in this experiment, that doesn't make any difference whatsoever.
It still comes out in the same direction.
Yeah. Because remember, we've got to get the probabilities, we have to square them. So we have a coefficient here, we have the coefficient of A is, it's A, 1 over root 2. We need to square that. So half, and here we have minus 1 over root 2 for B, square that. So in this case, we have 50% probability of the light being transmitted through the A channel here, the A output, and 50% here. And so, and this light will come out here, and the photon, so it goes through, will actually come out, all of light will come out, actually, so it goes in horizontally, and will come out actually polarized. Mm-hmm. So this is what happens schematically. So we look at the light, yes. Sorry, my mistake. Thank you. So we look at the light, comes out the A output here, and we pass this through a polarization divider that has theta alpha equals zero, so it's exactly, just splits it up into vertical and horizontal. And so here we have this photon at this angle, and what do you think the chances of this, so this, I guess I should say, remember this is 40 pi over 4. What do you think the chances of this photon with this polarization being measured to be horizontally, so coming out horizontally out of, it goes through a polarization divider? Yes?
50%,
yep. And I guess the only other percentage left is 50%. So that it goes through there and there. So, yes?
In that example, it's splitting them in the polarized divider thing. It's splitting it up into horizontal and vertical components.
Actually, no. It's a bit soft. So here I'm looking at putting an individual photon in, so one photon in. You can't split up a photon. It's going to be whole. Yeah. Yes, Jane.
If you're trying like a large beam of light, so, like the luminosity, the intensity of light that comes through the book is still using the same equation, right?
You can use the same equation to derive that because it's just made up of. It actually works out the same. You just use Malus's law, and it turns out to be the same. In that case, you would end up with 50% of the light there, 25% there, and 25% of the intensity there.
So that equation of your vector psi equal the vector h plus e, does it describe any physical reality?
So the psi equals h. So it does describe the physical reality of, there's a real photon with a real electric field oscillating in some real way, and that just describes which way it's oscillating, so which way it's polarized, so it describes that reality, yes.
How the photons
are field is. Really the orientation of the direction. Okay, so it looks like that makes sense. So what I'd like you to do is do the next problem. Now, so what are the probabilities of the photons reaching all of the outputs shown above? Away you go. Talk to people around you. Get your answers and check that your answers agree with people around you. Does anyone have any questions about the first example? Yeah.
So definitely not a lot of people who are from the
I'm going to get a couple of questions. I think you're Thank you. Right.
Is that anyone still going on the time?
The first part comes after
If I don't give you the answer, please become like that. So, what do we have coming through? Vertical photon. Algebra multiplied by 4, first one. So how does that split up? What are the two possible measurement outcomes? Yes, Christoph? Right, yeah. Okay, you're a couple of steps ahead of me. And so the two possible outcomes are higher or here. And so if we represent the spectrum beam pointing up, we break it down into components parallel to A and parallel to B. We have one that, think of this as a unit vector. This is 1 over root 2 in length. A, 1 over root 2 in length. B, and we get 1 over root 2 from cosine and sine of pi over 4. So we square those and we get a half and half. And this gives us, as you said, the probabilities of 50-50. So we get 50% of photons going up into as being measured parallel to, as being measured as being a polarized in the B direction, and 50% being measured as being polarized in the A direction. And this is kind of a weird thing because, in some sense, we put in a vertically polarized photon, and it was not polarized either in the A direction or in the B direction. But it comes out 50% of the time, put in lots of photons, it comes out, and the measurement result we get is that it was polarized A, and 50% that it was polarized B. So what we're actually seeing here, so it's kind of weird, but actually at the quantum level, because in some sense quantum objects, the photons are so sensitive, what we're necessarily doing, so all the two measurement outcomes, none of them are actually what the photon is like. So really, in some sense, if you were to perfectly measure what the polarization of photon was, you would measure that vertical. But that's not what we do. We actually get neither of the two outcomes actually were what it is, but it still tells us something about the polarization of photon. We can reconstruct that it was vertical from, or at least get very close to that from the two measurement outcomes and the relative probabilities that we have. So what we're seeing is that the measurement it actually disturbs the state of the photon and changes the state of the polarization, which is a very deep thing. And no matter what we put the photon in, no matter how it comes out to be in a different state. So the measurement actually disturbs or changes the state of the polarization, which is a trademark of quantum physics. So 50-50, 50% there. Okay, so the next one. So we'll forget about the B photon polarized in the B direction and just go on and consider ones in the A direction. So here. Can anyone help me out? I've forgotten what to do. Can anyone give me a suggestion as to what we should do for the next one at higher three? Any? So we're coming to the second filter here, or the second polarization divider here. Yes?
You have to draw two vectors, one for pi over 4 and one for pi over 3, and find that angle of three.
Yep, exactly. So, and then, should I draw one like this, a B1 here? Great. And you said find the angle in between. So the angle in between pi over 3 and pi over 4 is obviously the difference between them. And if we use the common denominator of pi over 12, we have 4. So that angle is 12 in there. And then the next step, can anyone help me out with the next? Yes? Yep. Yep. And yep. Let's see. All right, and then we go on. And the probability for it being going into, not going in terms of the A output, but going in terms of the B output is, oh, that's in terms of, that's for it to be measured as the A aspect elsewhere. But there's another possible output. Right. So that's 1 minus pi squared and pi over 12 sine squared. Okay, so we get this vector here, break it down in terms of the component parallel to here, and component parallel to here, and this is cos and so actually, no, this one will be that will be there, and it will be very, very small, and this will have length. Sine 5 to 12. So, to make that a bit clearer, okay, we should actually think that, so and then okay, so as you said there, so the probability for it to, so it's 50-50, and then the probability, does anyone no, what does this give? Actually, could someone tell me what these two, does anyone have these two values?
7.9.
Sorry? 0.007? Yep. And the other one, Ben?
0.93.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So that means 93% of the photons that reach here get transmitted through there, and 7% there. So it's cumulative probability. So so it's 50% there, 50% there, and the percentage that come out there is 50%. Multiplied by 93%. So so they give something like 26.5% approximately there. So we get 46.5% coming out here, and then 50% multiplied by 7%, which gives us around about 3.5%. So we'll actually just write it down. Anyone give me any suggestions for the last one? So that's pi of 6, is it, I think?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got 50% here. And so the last one, I guess, basically it's the same type of thing. So now we have the difference between the angle pi of 3 and pi of 3 and pi of 6. So here we have polarized at pi of 3. We have the A and B for pi of 6. The difference between pi of 3 and pi of 6 is pi of 6. So again, we break this down in terms of the cosine components. So it's cos. Should give us root 3 over 2, looking at. Yep, board there. And the component here, parallel to V, is sine, the magnitude of it sine, pi over 6, which looking at the board is a half. Therefore, the probabilities are squaring a half, because it's a quarter V, and it's squaring this. A gives us 3/4. So figure out final probabilities. So 3/4 it will go here and 1/4 will go there. So we have 46. So here will be something like 46.5% multiplied by 75%. Does anyone have a value for that?
Roughly 35?
Roughly, approximately, right, thank you, Sam. And here, does anyone have a value? So that will be
11%.
Roughly. Okay, and we add those up, that should add up to 100%. Roughly they do, I guess, 50%, 3.5%, 11%, and 35%, just close enough to 100%. So we've accounted for all the photons. So it might not look like anything strange, but what we have here really shows actually the core feature of quantum physics, or arguably the core feature of quantum physics. And that is really expressed in this fact here. One of the key defining features of quantum physics is just the fact that we have, in essence, this plus sign here. That the photon is not constrained to be definitely horizontally polarized or definitely vertically polarized, but it can be in a combination of the two, an arbitrary combination of the two. And technically, that's called a superposition. And so really, this is a quantum property, well, a property we find in the quantum world all throughout. And it's actually a very, very useful property. And I'm going to show you how it's useful, because now we're going to play a game and see how using superposition allows you to win this game. So it's a very simple game. So you need a partner for this game, so you need to pair up. Does anyone have any money? I need money to play. Does anyone have a coin?
Yeah.
Can I borrow it?
Just one.
Okay. So this is a $2 Canadian coin and a toonie. And so I'm going to play the game with Michael now. And so what I'm going to do is, so it's a coin that has heads or tails. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to set the coin to either be heads or tails. And then I'm going to pass it on to Michael. So I'll do that now. And I'm going to pass it on to him. And he knows whether it's heads or tails. And secretly, without me looking, he is going to either flip the coin over or not flip the coin over. So I don't know. He can either do one of two things. And he's very sneaky, as you can tell. So I don't know what he's going to do. But he's going to flip it over. And then he's going to hand it back to me without me looking. So I'm not going to look. And then now what I can do is I can flip the coin over or not. But I don't know what he's done, so I don't know whether it's heads or tails. So I'm just trying to analyze him. So my goal is to make sure that the coin ends up being heads. So what I can do now, my move is either flip it or not. And if it ends up being heads, then I win and I get to keep the coin.
Cool.
Okay, well, I think it was my coin. I forgot. Okay. So if it was my coin, I'd get this coin. Obviously, I'm an honest person, so I hand it back. And if it's tails, then Michael gets the coin. So I flip it over, and I look. Okay, it's tails. So that means I lose because it wasn't heads, and so Michael. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Does everyone understand? So what you're going to do is, so either use a coin or just get a scrap of paper.
Well, you're $5 bill.
Sorry?
$5 bill.
If you want to, whatever. So, what you're going to do is, in a minute, so write down, so actually maybe, so just do it with finding, either have money or get a piece of paper, write heads on one side, tails on the other. So I'm going to play one more round with Christopher, if I can, actually. So if I can have everyone's attention. Okay, so maybe next time we can play one round with Jeremy. So, Jeremy, so I guess we'll chat with this paper. So I hand it to you. I don't you know what it is. Secretly, you decide to flip it or not, but don't tell me. Actually, maybe if you... Yep. Have you done it? So have you done it?
Yeah.
So I'm not looking at my clothes. Can you hand it back to me?
Hey, don't look.
I'm not looking. Okay, so I'm going to decide to flip it or not. I am going to flip it. I look. Okay, so it's tails, so... Pretty bad luck. Okay, what I'd like you to do, so find a partner, play this game 10 times, and see how much you can win, see how often you can win, and see if you can think if there's any foolproof strategy of winning. Is there a way that you're always guaranteed? Okay, let's away go.
Thank you. Top like this, and he stands off like this.
Right.
In his tail. But if you have to put your head on top,
that's what he taught us.
That's
just like.
Right. But someone, you could get around that. So, but then you're saying from the way they give you the point. That's. So that's being very creative. That's using psychology because physics can. Stars don't always work, so points are trying. Oh, yeah. So everyone, can everyone?
You must use a point with good hands.
Use a point with good hands. Right. That's not in the spirit of the game. The game. Not in the spirit. Yes.
Use probability,
but
you're not guaranteed.
You're not guaranteed, exactly. So does everyone agree that you're not guaranteed to win?
Yeah.
Aside from using a claim to do it, aside from you've got a lot of faith as a lot. Okay, so everyone agrees.
I think if you put something on, you can get a patch on a public thing.
You can get
a patch on a public thing.
You get a pat. Well, maybe, but
this is a little bit. This is an example of this. Try making analogies like how.
Yeah, kind of, but this is yeah. Okay, so everyone agrees that. So hopefully you can see that there's no way guarantee of winning unless you know. Something like that. Yeah. But okay, so. So the reason I gave you this game was obviously not so you could play around with the same amount of win. But the reason is quantum physics gives you a strategy that you can always win 100% of the time. It guarantees that you can win. And uses exactly the same mathematics that we've been using before. So the only mathematics it uses is this what you see on this slide here. And except instead of playing the game with a coin, we're going to play the game with a quantum coin. And I'm guessing no one has a quantum coin in their pocket. So I'm going to explain to you what a quantum coin is. So a normal coin must be either heads or tails. What? Okay. This is the main part of our game. So quantum coin, a normal coin heads or tails. So it must be one or the other. Makes sense. So, but a quantum point doesn't have to really, it can be in a superposition of heads and tails. So in some things it can be heads and tails. But just if you want to mathematically describe that a bit more, in more detail, what it can be is, can actually be in a superposition of cos, theta, heads, and we use head plus sine theta tails. And this is, again, the quantum point. So because it's a quantum coin, you can have superposition. And just as a photon doesn't have to be definitely horizontally polarized or vertically polarized, it can be in a superposition or linear combination of the two. So our quantum coin can be a superposition here. And so that's the first fact about quantum coin. So this is the most general state of quantum coin. So the other fact, I only need to tell you one more fact, and that fact is that what happens if you flip a coin and it's in this state? So if you get a quantum coin and it's heads and you flip it, then it goes to tails. So, and if you flip it, exactly, it goes to heads. But if it's in a state and you flip it, what do you think it goes to? No, it goes, the heads change to the tails. And then you can see what I'm going to write here, sine. Okay. So does that make sense, what I've written? Okay, great. Because somehow using those properties of a quantum coin, superposition, which is a quantum property, so this is analogous to what we have here. You can find a strategy of always winning the game using a quantum coin. And so what I'd like you to do now, over lunch, maybe you think about this over lunch, I'd like you to come up with the strategy for somehow using the fact that quantum coin can be in this most general state, it doesn't have to be heads or tails, it can be both, to always win the game. So what I'm going to do is, so if you have the answer now, fantastic, check with the people around you. So what I'd like you to do is, so that's, actually I'll find out a way of using this to always win the game. So does that make sense? Of using a quantum coin to always win the game. Does that make sense? Does anyone have any questions about the game?
I have a question.
The rules. Yes.
What if both people use that strategy?
So the coin you're using, the rules of the game are exactly, everything is exactly the same, except I take away your heads and tails coin. And I give you,
you're saying there is a strategy that you can always win.
Yes.
And if both people play the game are using that strategy,
oh, sorry.
Do both of them always win?
good question. What I should have said, the person giving her the stuff off with a coin can always win.
Okay.
So that was clarity. Ilya, yes.
What's the aim of the game? You can't have always have to play what the game the
oh, actually, yeah. Okay, so there's one. Good point. So there's one more fact I should have said. So good point. So the only extra thing is, I guess, the third fact I forgot to mention at the end. So when I receive the coin back, so I start off with it. I give it to Michael, he flips it or not, I get it back. What I'm allowed to do with my quantum coin, I can rotate, I can either turn or not turn over the normal coin. Excuse me. So actually, I'll make it another angle. I'm actually allowed to rotate the coin by any angle phi. And what I mean by phi is rotate in the sense of, if we have a quantum coin, we might have, say, heads here and tails here representing the two possible outcomes. If it's here, then when I get it back, so I get a title, he flips it or he doesn't, I get it back, then what I can do is, so slightly changing the rules, I can either flip it or not, but also I can actually rotate it around, really just do, essentially this is the analog of flipping or not, but I can actually rotate it around by any angle phi that I like. Without, but I don't know what the point is that I get back.
But I can't really make it head more there.
That's what you'd want to do, but you don't necessarily have to make it back. You can rotate it around by the angle. Because say I got it back and somehow it was up here, I rotated it around by pi over 6, you would rotate it to, I don't know, something like that. So it would be a superposition of heads and tails.
And you want to make it heads, so you decide how much.
Exactly. So that's basically the same before, except it's just the generalization of flipping it or not. Yes, Jenny?
So the second person gets to rotate in any degree that person wants.
Yes. Yeah, so really it's just basically the same as flipping or not, but flipping or not just changes from the two possible states. So it's really the same thing. Rotating it just changes through any of the states that you're allowed to have, so it's really the same thing. Yes?
Do you have a solution to the problem by using the bank robber diamond problem? Have you heard that one? Where
I have. Yeah, that's a different one. Actually, I'm going to give that one to you later on today. I'm going to give that one to you tomorrow. So did you get that from Quantum, the guy for the place? Yeah. So I'm going to give you that one tomorrow, except a harder version of that one, because it's obviously too easy. There's a version, so the one in the book you can win 25% of the time, there's a 100% version. And that's going to be the problem. No one got that at the last camp, so that's the challenge. Yes, Boris.
If the coin is a superposition of heads and tails in general,
yep.
Then what's my goal?
To have it being the same as the game with the standard coin. To get
so,
it back.
So
basically,
I want to have the same components, or
no, you win if you initially start with the coin. You win if whenever it comes back to you and you rotate it by whatever angle, it always, and you look at it, it is always heads.
Oh, pure heads.
Pure heads, yes.
Even though it may not have started as pure heads.
Correct.
Okay.
So, is that, yes. Question? So, there's a question.
Correct,
yeah. So this is, this is really the same thing as the game that we had before, because just the thing is, before you could, the game with ordinary coin, you can start in any state you like, but there are only two states for a coin, heads or tails. But a quantum coin can be in any of the 360 degrees of gravity. So it's the same game, quantum version of the game. Okay, we will break for lunch now, and I'll just come back.
Yeah.